Welcome to Are You Real, episode 50.
Welcome to Are You Real, Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and I'm super excited and fired up for today's special guest, Jody Holland. But today is not just any show. We are going to be talking about future shows of what we're doing, and this is just an intro of what we're going to be doing with Jody Holland on his new show called Are You Real Success? So what we're going to be doing is adding featured shows throughout the month. We're going to be bringing on past guests like Christy Austin, who's going to be doing Are You Real Power? We're going to be doing also a show with Jeremy Shuck on prophetic, and possibly a show with Michael McIntyre on business. We're going to be doing possibly an extra 3 to 4 shows a month. I would love to get your feedback. Please jump on our Facebook page or shoot us an email. Tell us what your thoughts are. We're going to be hitting different categories on life, including still keeping the same show that I'm doing. But today, we just want to give you an intro of what we're going to be doing in the future with Jody as well. So please give us a shout out. Let us know what you think. And I'm super excited for you guys to get some new, fresh content. So be blessed, and I hope you enjoy.
Hey, Jody Holland here with the Psyche of Success video blog. Going to be talking with John Fuller today.
Hey guys.
CEO, owner, innovator of New Life Homes. Also, the #2 spiritual podcast on iTunes right now. The Are You Real podcast. If you haven't checked it out, you need to. I'll make sure and put a link directly to that, as well as to his website in the description of this video. Make sure if you haven't subscribed already, go do that right now. I don't want you to forget. And share this with your friends.
I was going to show you.
Oh, yeah. Right there. Just put it right up there.
#2 under Joel Osteen. How awesome is that?
Yeah, Joel learned everything he knows from John.
Man, I'm glad that guy took some hints from me, some tips.
I am too. I'm telling you, I think that had he not paid attention, he wouldn't have Lakewood where it is today.
That's right, man. Worked out well for him. So, I think he's got like 50,000 members.
Yeah. All right, so he's doing all right.
He's doing all right.
Actually, I love Joel Osteen. I listen to him all the time in the car, channel 128 on Sirius XM. Nice. Not a commercial, but I do love his show.
Nice.
So we're going to be talking about success, and we're kind of doing a hybrid today. We're doing the video blog, but we're also going to be using the audio from this for a podcast on the Are You Real podcast. So I'm going to interview you, and you're going to interview me. We're going to talk together. Nice. We'll get it all figured out in the end.
Let's do it.
So I want to start by asking you, what is your definition of success?
Okay, so I was thinking about that today. So I think That's evolved so much over the years. So in my early 20s, success was all about the money. So had I told you I made $1 million, man, I was successful.
Yeah.
Having made a lot of money and gone broke in the last 10 years and then made money again, that changes really fast.
Yeah.
Real fast. So success to me over the years is coming down to fulfilling purpose.
Okay.
So I believe that every person has a God-given gift or talent. Mm-hmm. And it is our job to find that gift and talent and then to serve people with that and to fulfill, to live those out.
So kind of living within something bigger than you.
Yes, absolutely. And I think a lot of times people find, I think they're like on the verge of success and they like kind of find their gift, but it's inward focused. It's
right.
Like, how can I do this to serve me? Instead of serving others. And I think as we turn those gifts out and we start to serve people, that's when I think our businesses, ministries, whatever it is we do, I really think that's when they explode.
Yeah, I would totally agree.
And I think, and one other thing I would say though, is also success is, as a family man, is loving my wife the way I'm called to and seeing my kids and my wife fulfill their purposes also.
Okay, so I'm going to dig into that one just a little bit because, you know, I did a survey last year asking people, okay, what makes a marriage? What makes people actually stick together? And
Right. Really
it was out of kind of curiosity and a little bit of frustration with the number of people that I know that got married and divorced and then married and divorced and then married and divorced. And it's like, okay, something is missing here. Right. So when you say love my wife like I'm supposed to, what does that mean?
Okay, so not for all your listeners, but for me personally, that comes down to a biblical term. So scripturally, it says to love your wife as Christ loved the church, to lay my life down for her, which is really freaking hard if we're going to be honest, right?
Yeah.
So, because there's times that I'd rather just say, you know, screw you, and this is what I want.
Yeah, I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yeah, I'm going to do what I want to do. And I've been married now 18 years, and I can honestly tell you, as I've loved my wife, like, unconditionally, then I really, you reap what you sow. So then she becomes sweeter and nicer and those things that we desire. Yeah. I mean, if we're going to be honest, and that's what my show is, blunt, you know, I get more sex when I'm nice.
I think that's a good reason that to
just,
be nice.
That just kind of goes, that just kind of goes together. And I say that almost laugh, but guys, like, it's just cycle. It's like, well, we never have sex. Well, you're a jerk. Well, yeah. it just is perpetual.
It just snowballs.
It does. And as I am learning to do that, because there's days just don't
it's
want
hard
to,
at times to be
it's,
nice.
It's really hard. And especially if you have a real type A driven personality, it's yeah. really hard to be nice. Sometimes.
Which I heard you do.
I do. Very much so.
A friend of mine that I was talking to in Kansas City, he was telling me, he said, I love my wife because I love my wife. He said, the day that I realized that there didn't need to be a reason for it was the day that I truly started loving her.
That's smart.
And so I think that's part of, you know, going to that biblical term of love your wife as Christ loved the church in that sacrificial manner. There was no need for them to do anything.
Yeah,
that was the whole thing. You know, Christ didn't go, look, I'm going to die for you if.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you guys better take out the trash every day or we're not doing this.
You better have my meals cooked.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was none of that. Yeah. And it's hard. And I think being young, I wish I had a mentor or somebody come to me and say, hey, you need
yeah.
to. I think you do. But I was having this conversation with a friend the other day. Is this generation, I think, lacks fathers.
Oh, I agree.
And that spiritual fathers, people telling younger guys, like, hey, pull your head out of your butt and just be nice.
Yeah, and stop being a jerk.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So that kind of ties into the next question as you think about, okay, we don't a lot of times have those mentors. And I know I was really, really lucky. Had a great father, great grandfather, had several men from the church that my dad pastored at that poured into me that were just good mentors to me. To me, a lot of the wisdom they gave me was about how to handle the tough times.
Okay.
Not so much just how to be always on, but at some point you're going to get kicked in the face.
Absolutely.
Here's what you do then. So my question to you is, how is it that you push through those worst times, those really tough times?
So for me, it's prayer, and I have to sit back and just think about. So I used to have no funnel or filter, I should say, on my mouth. I just say.
So if it was here, it was here.
Oh yeah, dude, it just came right out, and I'd say. And what I found was is it never worked out for me ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've done is if when I'm frustrated or going through a hard time, I just sit back and pray and say, okay, God, what are you doing in this situation, or what are you saying? So perfect example is my wife and I got in a really, and I keep going back to this for whatever, maybe this is for somebody special, right?
Yeah, you never know.
You never know, but my wife and I got into a pretty good argument. I bet it's been a week or two. It's been a long time since it got heated, and to the point where she was, and she's not a yeller, and she was yelling at me, she was mad. And I kept my cool, actually, and I just let her vent. And that being said, I was able to collect my thoughts and just say, God, what are you saying in this situation? Because I know how I feel. Mm-hmm. I know what she's saying, but what do you say about this? And just tried to defuse the situation. So
yeah,
that being said, through worst times is prayer. And just sometimes I'll have, you know what? It might be a bad, I can't remember any scripture, but if there's one, won't pop up in my head. And I just chew on that for a while.
Yeah. Well, it sounds also, I mean, when you say you're doing that, when you back up from where you're at, you're taking time to kind of reframe your situation.
Yeah.
We know how we want to act emotionally or react emotionally, but a lot of times what we're really supposed to do is go, okay, well, let me look at this from a different perspective. Within the God framework,
right.
Here's what I'm called to do, as opposed to, dadgummit, I'm mad right now and I just want to do what I want to do.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, Are we going to jump into yours, or are we just going to go?
Oh, you know what? Yeah, we almost forgot that.
That's what I wanted to ask you. So let's jump into success. What is success for you, Jody?
So success for me, just like with you, has evolved quite a bit. When I was 27 and I started into business, success was about having a nice car and making a lot of money and other people looking at me going, man, look at Jody Holland.
He's got it all together.
Yeah. So it was all a load of crap because yeah. I don't remember at any point when I was just chasing the dollar that I ever felt like I was successful.
Yeah.
I even had a year where I did $600,000 in training revenue. And that was like the most miserable year of my life.
Isn't that funny how that works? Like yeah. You chase a dollar. It's like, I always think of the carrot
yeah.
in front of the donkey.
It's just hanging out there.
And
yeah.
you never catch it.
So success now is, it's identifying the things that make me who I am. So that's why I've always liked your podcast, Are You Real? Because it's really about my authentic self is I am an author, I am a speaker, I am a trainer, and I'm a video blogger now. But
that's
it ties
right.
into the author, speaker, trainer
but
thing.
But it goes together.
Yeah. So when I live into who I was designed to be, I'm successful. If there's money, great. If there's not, I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And people will ask me, what are you going to do when you retire? Obviously, I'm not very old yet.
Are you sure?
No. I've got about 20 years before retirement.
20 good.
But I go, but I would do what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do anything different. So I think that's the big thing is that so often we forget the fact that if we're doing what we love to do, we don't have to think about it because success is just an extension of who we are.
That's funny you said that. I heard a guy one time that said, if you'll do what you love, the money will follow.
And you know what the crazy thing is? That dude was right.
Yeah.
And so was Napoleon Hill, who in his book, Think and Grow Rich, said, don't chase money.
Yeah.
In the book titled Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah.
He said, find your burning desire, your passion, who you are, and just do that.
Yeah.
The money will find you. Yeah. And I have found that to be the absolute truth. The day that I stopped trying to be rich and just tried to be me was the day that it started working better. And I will say I'm still working on being me.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking about that too is when you're chasing money, the other thing about that is when you haven't found purpose and passion in your life and you're chasing money, every
yeah.
good idea that comes that looks like you can make money, you chase it. So it's really easy to go off on a lot of rabbit trails during
yeah.
that time.
Absolutely. So second question was, how do you push through your worst times? There's several things that I do when times get tough. Most of the time when things are tough for me, it's mental.
Yes.
And so I feel like I've got these demons just throwing crap in my head, making
right.
me doubt myself or question what I'm doing, that kind of stuff. So I step back from
whatever. You doubt yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Coming from Jody, that was yeah. a good one. I had to capitalize on
I
that.
I think everybody doubts themselves at some point.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think you step back and you just go, okay, how do I define me? And that's when I go back to that framework of to be me, I have to be a writer, I have to be a speaker, I have to be a trainer.
So you stay within your gifts.
Yeah. And I think there's different contexts for your gift. You know, think about with your kids, for example. With my kids, I'm the happiest when I write them something or have time to visit with them.
Right.
You know, or I coach them and try to help them figure out life. I'm happiest with my wife when I'm helping her as a school teacher prep a lesson or grade stuff. And I know that sounds crazy, but I do actually enjoy grading from time to time. I'm not very good at it. She usually corrects me. But I think when we're helping, we're happy. And so when times get tough, I actually just go help somebody.
That's
and it
good.
Reframes it for me.
Well, that goes back to what I said is taking your gifts. You serve. So
yeah.
you're connecting with your wife through your gift. You're serving
mm-hmm.
her.
Yeah.
You guys are connecting. Same with your kids.
Yep, absolutely.
I
so
okay.
if you're really down, go through the drive-through and say, I want to just pay for the meal for the people that are behind me. Doesn't matter how much it costs, just pay for it.
Absolutely.
You'd be amazed at how much better you feel like, yes, you just bought a chicken sandwich. That's incredible.
You know what I like doing too is if you go to a restaurant and you leave like a huge tip, like a $50 bill for something and you
yeah.
it was like a 30, like the wage, excuse me, sir, did you mean to do that? I love that.
Yeah. My wife will usually write notes, a little note that says, I think you're an amazing person. I think this will go far. And I will give you another thing that I do when I'm really, really, really down.
Yeah.
I take about 10 $5 bills and I go to Barnes and Noble and I go put them in
books. That's a fun idea.
So I just go put them in books that I think, hey, that's a really good book. Somebody should read that. Here's $5 towards the book. And I think I've done it 8 times now.
That is hilarious.
And so if you're in Amarillo, Barnes and Noble.
Yeah, I'm going to Barnes and Noble. I'm going to go see if I can find one.
You have to find the books that Jody Holland likes to read. I don't think there's a Jody Holland section.
There's not. We'll find one.
So the next question that I have for you, and then you can ask me, is what is it that keeps you awake at night?
And this ties back always with who I am in my podcast. So it's purpose. So it's not fulfilling my purpose and then also not helping my family. So I'm really big. I'm in a season right now of wanting to see my wife and kids do what, because my kids are teenagers now.
Yeah.
So they're really coming into those formative years and wanting them to see them launch into who they are. So that keeps me up. And also sometimes is not doing a good job at work. Like I always want, I'm not a people pleaser, but I always want people to be happy with what I do.
Yeah.
So whether it's in construction or whatever it is I do, I really desire for people. There's nothing worse than a phone call and somebody's like, my roof's leaking or a tile's cracked or just something. Like, it just bugs me because I want them to feel great about it.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just going to throw this out there. He's got a book coming out called DIY Remodel My Life. And he's taking the lessons that he learned from the construction business and then what he's learned in his podcast, Are You Real Podcast, and kind of blending it all together. And so you've probably worked harder to try to make it right than any author I've met. Like I've had a couple of authors that, you know, they'll write a book and they'll send it to me. I'll read it. I'm like, holy crap, you need to start over. And I'll say, don't send this without doing the formatting. Don't do it without this. Don't do it without that. And I know I still make mistakes too, but you try to help. And then the next thing I know, I get online, I order it. I'm like, those words are actually printed off the page. And like, you didn't fix the formatting. You didn't do anything. So anyway, I'm excited about your book. Should be out next 30, 60 days.
I would say 60. I'd say 30 to 60 days.
30 to 60 in there.
I'm not in a hurry. It's been long enough.
Might as well just take your time.
Just take time.
So for me, what keeps me up at night is I worry about, am I doing enough?
Yes, and you're a driver.
I am very much a driver, and I am a people pleaser. I know that I am. I want everybody to be happy when they leave one of my trainings. I want them to go, my gosh, I learned so much. I can apply that at home and at work. And if they leave a speech that I did, a keynote, I want them to go, best speaker ever.
Yeah.
And so I stay awake a lot practicing and reading other books about how to be good at that. But then also, you know, I meet with my web guy, for example, and he'll give me a list of 27 things that are wrong with my website since last week. And I'm like, And so I'll work till 2-3 o'clock in the morning that day. Like, I'll just start about 6 p.m. and go till 2 or 3 in the morning, and I'm still not done. By that time, you're falling asleep at your keyboard. So what keeps me awake?
I got a question for you on that, though, because you said you're a people pleaser, and a lot of people are, I think. So how do you deal with that if somebody's not happy with, like, you didn't get a, that was an amazing Jody speech or something like that? How do you deal with that?
I don't know. I've never had that yet.
Well, you surely had something. Give me a break.
No, actually.
He's like, no, I'm awesome. Thank you. No, really, he's awesome.
No, I've always given a 100% money back guarantee. If you don't like the thing that I did, don't pay me. Well, that's part of it. And so I can justify there's ever anybody that's not happy.
Right.
And so I've had two of those in like 17 and a half years.
That's pretty good.
It's not too bad. But when you put it out there, you work a little harder to make sure you don't have to get the money back. For me, though, there are people that don't like me. And I will tell you, it's the same thing that I do with everything else. I frame it. I have to go, okay, what does this person mean to me in the bigger picture?
Right.
And if they really don't mean anything to me, and I know that sounds harsh, but it's the...
it's not that they don't mean anything, but it's
no,
just...
No, it does. Means that they don't mean anything. So if they have no leadership over me, no influence in my life,
right?
No, you know, or I don't respect who they are as a human, then I'll go, okay, thank you. So I had a guy that I was coaching 4 or 5 years ago. And I sat down to coach him. A lot of times I get the executive coaching deals where they go, okay, well, we're going to either fire this guy or you have to fix him. in two sessions.
No pressure.
No pressure whatsoever. And so I sit down with him, and the first thing out of his mouth is, I hate you.
Nice.
Yeah. So my response was, okay. And then I waited for a minute, and I said, can we get started again? He goes, did you not hear me? I hate you. I go, okay. Yeah, I got that. You hate me.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
No problem.
I'm not here to be your buddy.
Yeah.
And so there are ways, like in my professional life, that I can keep that frame in place to go, okay, in this setting, I would probably be pretty emotional and upset too.
Right.
Because he was told, he's either going to fix you. Okay. None of us want to be quote unquote fixed.
Fixed, yeah.
And, which I don't go into quote unquote fix people. I go in to help them understand perspective and build the skills and the behaviors that make other people interpret them the way they should.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So it's just about interpretation, right?
Yeah, and wording.
So to get through that side of it, when people don't like me, I have to frame it. And then I have to come home and talk to my wife about it. And usually...
Does that help?
Oh, yeah, tremendously. My wife's a great listener. Sometimes she gives me advice. I'm like, whoa, I don't want advice. I already know what to do. I just want you to listen.
I already know what my problem is.
Yeah. Well, nobody knows more about their problems than the person who has the problems.
Yeah.
And the same thing is true with pretty much all women. They just want you to listen, not come in and go, oh, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you
That's
do this?
That's really hard as a guy.
It's really hard as a human.
Yeah.
Because women do the same thing back to guys, and most guys don't want the answer from their wife either. They just want somebody to listen.
This has almost turned into like a marriage podcast.
It's couples therapy.
Like, it really is. That's awesome.
So let's go to the next one. We'll go to the marriage one when we talk about the seven habits. The next thing we talk about is success habits. So what are some of the things that you do to ensure that you stay successful?
So that has been a journey for years, but lately it's been as we were talking earlier off air, is that I'm in the middle of a game right now, and it's faith, family, fitness, finances, and fun. You have 30 days, you set a goal on each one. So to answer that question is goal setting.
Yes.
And we set goals in there, and every week you have to hit goals. You have to achieve something in every area. And what that did was, is just to give you an example. So last night was Mother's Day, and we were at my uncle's house. It's like 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. I'm wiped out, tired. I'm ready to go to bed. And I realized that I had missed 3 workouts this week, and my goal is to make 4 workouts in a week. So I went home, took a scoop of pre-workout, and went to the gym and did 3 workouts, and...
2 hours.
Completely wiped myself out. I mean, I barely
slept great though.
I barely walked out of the gym.
Yeah.
And so that was like, I met my goals for the week though. And that was the thing. So that has been really eye-opening for me, is what it takes to achieve those things.
So I'm in agreement with you, and I'm actually going to reach right back here.
Yeah. I love your marbles.
So... These are my marbles. That's my goal setting system right there. So I hope
you don't lose them.
Yeah,
marbles.
I know. If you don't move them from one to the other by the end of the year, you lose your marbles. So these are the number of training days / speeches that I intend to do for the year. These are the number that I have done in the first 3 months. I haven't moved April over yet.
Okay.
So, no, I have moved April over. So that's 4 months. So we're going into May now. So I've got a little time, but I'm actually on track to hit my target. But it's amazing that just having something in front of you like that, like a goal, where you say, I've got to do X number every month or I'm not going to make it.
Right.
So I do that. So the biggest habit for me is I take what I want to do for the year, I break it down by month, what's got to do each month, and then I break down each month by week and each week by day. I know that in order to be successful in, say, sales, I've got to call and talk to between 5 and 10 people a day.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Not actually that much. No? That's 30 minutes.
Okay.
It's 30 minutes to an hour of work, because of the 10 people, 8 of them are going to give me some advice about where I could reside.
Okay.
They're going to tell you to go away in a not so nice manner. And 2 of them are going to go, that's really interesting. We ought to get together. So I do that at the start of the week until I have the number of appointments that I want. I don't actually do near what I used to do. My first year in business, I did 10 appointments per week. That's 2 per day. So that meant I had to do 50 phone calls minimum a week, which I did on Monday.
Wow.
So I would do my 50 calls, and then I would go have my appointments, and that would generate my revenue. I knew a call created revenue in the end.
Yeah. It's funny you talk about that. So lately I've been saying it out of sight, out of mind. So really it makes all the difference. If you see your goal or your marbles and yes. they're there, like you realize I have to do something about this. And as soon as you don't think about it, it just gets pushed.
You just forget about it.
And you drift.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden a month goes by and you're like, what if you think back, this
just like, I only did 10 marbles. I'm supposed to do 17 every month.
Exactly. I was sitting down with a friend of mine the other day. We spent down an hour. He never even, we went through the big five, which was faith, yeah. family, fitness. And we're driving and I said, and he's like, this moment just hit him. He's like, I've never thought about that. And he's at least 10, 15 years older than me. And I thought, you've gone through your entire life and never thought about these things.
Well, and having it balanced out is critical too.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that's my work goal. I have one work goal. Certain number of marbles have to be moved for the year.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. And then I have a family goal, and it has to do with the number of vacations and the number of dates.
Nice.
That's for me and my wife and my kids going on vacations. And the kids, once a year, I try to take a trip one-on-one. And that's what I want to... I mean, that's like, you balance out your life, because if you only pursue money, then success is going to run away from you.
Yeah, and if you just pursue your relationships with your family, then you're going to go broke.
As a joke. Yeah. So you gotta have all of that together.
Absolutely. Okay.
All right, so the final question I've got for you is, what is the best lesson that you've learned related to success in life that you could share with the viewers? So the thing that's made the biggest impact on you.
So I think for success is to, I would say, is love God, love people. And then I always try to do what's best, not just for myself, but for everybody around me. Because it's really easy just to do what's good for me in a situation. Yeah. But you, if you sit back, like you were talking about earlier, and you and analyze the whole situation and say, what's best for everybody?
Yeah.
And also that goes back to you reap what you sow. And, you know, if you sow crap, well, you're going to reap crap, right?
Yeah, that's all you got. That's your only option.
That's your only option. So really is, and I tell my kids that all the time. You reap, and I think they hate hearing it.
I'm sure.
I'm like, you reap what you sow. I mean, if that's how you're going to treat people, that's how they're going to treat you back. And that goes in every area, whether it's business, life, marriage, it doesn't matter. So that, for me, success is reaping what I sow. A perfect example, going to the grocery store, smile at people.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be amazed at how many people are like smile back. Like, it just made their day that you smiled. Or if you scowl at people, they look at you and you're like, you're a jerk.
Yeah. Right? And then they're mad at you for no apparent
exactly.
reason.
Exactly. So what about you?
Okay. So for me, the best lesson I think I've ever learned is nobody's stopping you.
Yeah. That's yeah.
And I was told that when I was a kid by an entrepreneur that was very successful. I've been told that by different executive coaches I've hired over the years. When I say, well, I really think I want to do this. And for some reason, that always comes back around. Nobody's stopping you.
Absolutely.
So the only excuse that we have for not being where we intended to be in life is the fact that we haven't chosen to move forward.
It's ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a good friend of mine, a friend of both of ours, AJ.
Yes.
He's done some stuff. He'll ask me sometimes, he's like, well, why aren't you doing that? Well, why not? Yeah. And every time I say it, like, he digs deeper to the point where I have to realize, I'm like, okay, because I'm being lazy and it's a choice that I've made. And,
yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to.
So we are who we are and where we are because we've chosen to be at this exact spot.
Ouch.
If we want to be someone else or be somewhere else, you just got to make a new choice.
Yeah.
You don't have to beat yourself up for what's gone wrong. You just have to decide, now I'm going to do something different.
Absolutely.
So you are who you are and where you are because you've chosen to be there. That hits me between the eyes still to this day.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, God, I can't blame anyone. Nothing's stopping me.
And I think it's amazing when you realize it's easy for us. Like, I can look at somebody and see their gifts really quick and go, oh my gosh, they have so much potential.
Yeah.
And I think people even recognize that in us as well. But it's easy. Sometimes you get in a rut and you're like, well, I suck or I can't or whatever yeah. stupid reason you have.
That negative self-talk.
Yeah. And yeah. you have to not just be able to talk through that, but have positive people around you to speak through it as well.
Yeah. Well, I know I have a group of guys that encourage me. You're in that group. One of my friends from Kansas City, we go at least once a year on a guy's trip. And it's really just a way for us to connect, relax, remember who we are,
yeah.
play a little golf. He plays it really well. I'll play it really poorly.
You chase your ball?
Yeah. Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to take that back. I always say I'm bad at golf. I'm really not that bad at golf. I just don't play often enough because I haven't chosen to. So I can't sit there and talk down about myself. Legitimately, I can swing that club. I can hit the ball. I'm really good at chipping. I'm good at putting.
Nice.
But I need to play on a consistent basis.
That's the problem.
It's the same thing. So let's go back to one more success habit. Whatever you want to be great at, do it regularly.
Absolutely.
You have to do it consistently. If you want to be a great speaker, you need to speak all the time. I probably did 500 keynotes to small groups and associations before I ever got paid to do a speech. 500.
That's a lot.
I have done 350-ish on paid keynotes now, trained over 200,000 leaders, but I did a lot of free stuff before I got to the paid stuff because I needed the practice.
Who's the podcast that you turned me on to? The guy?
Grant Baldwin.
Grant Baldwin. I interviewed him. He was on my show.
Speaker Lab.
Speaker Lab. Awesome. Yeah, he's on my show. And it's funny you say that. I think he says that. Just like, if you want to learn to speak, go out and just go speak to as many free things as you can and just go do it.
Go get 1,000 of them. Yeah. Or at least 100 of them in the next year.
Yeah.
So I do want to give a shout out also to AJ Amex. AJ has coached me. I know AJ has coached you several times.
Yeah.
Looking forward to my next session with him. That guy is awesome. He did a program, Tweet Like a Rockstar, and said some incredibly profound things to me in my last session, such as, stop obsessing about all the details. You're just not a detail guy. That's so true. I'm not. He said to set a goal, just do something simple that you can keep in front of you. And that's when I started thinking about the marble, because I did poker chips all the time for sales when I first started in sales. And a white poker chip is a phone call that I connected. A red poker chip was actually went and did a presentation. And then a black poker chip was, we got the money.
I like it.
And that all I knew is it took me this many white poker chips to get to the black poker chip, because you want to be in the black, not in the red.
Yeah, it's all percentages, man.
So you just played the numbers and you got there. So, hey guys, I've enjoyed having you on the show. John,
Thank you very much. I enjoyed having you on the show.
This is the Psyche of Success, and I am starting this interview process as a podcast on the Are You Real podcast. So once a week, this will be the inaugural episode. I will be putting the audio onto the Are You Real podcast. So make sure that you check the description and the link down there. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you tell your friends. Find me on Facebook, Jody Holland Training. Find me on Twitter at Jody N. Holland. And for heaven's sake, share this with your friends. They deserve some good information.
Come on now.
Yeah, I'm Jody Holland with the Psyche of Success. We'll see you next time.
See you guys.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to areyoureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.